Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, we looked at one of my favorite chapters in the Gospel of Luke, is Luke chapter 4. At the beginning of the chapter, Jesus goes out into the desert. He fasts for 40 days. We talked about fasting. It's a spiritual discipline where you set aside something in your life and replace it with additional time, additional relationship time, focus on the Lord. And, you know, that can be food, that can be media, that could be a lot of things. Maybe for you, it's something that you've become reliant upon as a comfort that you're going to set aside. Maybe set that aside and maybe take time to pray. But Jesus fasts from food, it seems, for 40 days. He did not eat. And so after that, Satan comes to tempt him. So we talked about temptation, and we talked about the three areas that Jesus was tempted: in the area of his appetites, in the area of his ambition, and the area of approval. The enemy comes to him and says, hey, turn these stones to bread. That's really the area of his appetites. Then the enemy comes along, and he tempts Jesus in the area of his ambition, offering him all the kingdoms of the world. And then he comes and says, throw yourself off the temple. And really talking about the public approval of being Messiah. Those are the three areas: appetites, ambition, and approval. And every time Jesus, he quotes scripture, he's ready. His life, his heart is invested in the word which he's really the author of. He spent the time, just like other Hebrew young men, spent the time memorizing all of that, certainly in school. So we talked about three good temptation fighters. And number one, we said, be wise to the enemy, but don't be consumed by the enemy. The enemy is a defeated foe. So we don't need to be so consumed and focused on him. We don't need to live in fear. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. But Jesus said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Second thing, be wise about your own soul, and don't depend on it. You know, you're going to have a struggle in the area of appetites. Maybe that's chemical dependency. Maybe that's a struggle with sexual sin. You're going to fight areas of appetites in your life, and you need to know what those are and be wise and strategize the battle. You're going to be tempted in the area of your ambition. Maybe that's in regards to money and security, maybe along those kind of things. Or maybe it's the approval of other people. Maybe you live for the attaboys and the pats on the back from others. Be wise to your own soul. We fight temptation on the outside. We also fight it on the inside because of our sinful nature that's flawed, that we are born with, separated from God as we come into the world. Then the third thing I said was just that the best fight against temptation is a healthy, strong relationship with Jesus. You know, the best fight against an affair, if you're married, is to have a strong marriage. So there need to be moments, seasons where you sense your love relationship with Christ is growing. I mentioned there was a moment a couple of weeks ago where I was out in the yard doing yard work, raking grass, listening to a new favorite band of mine, Maverick City, and singing, and moments where I just sensed, I said, God, you could just take me right now. Like, I'm ready. If you're ready, I'm ready. And your relationship with God hopefully grows. It's not always emotional, but hopefully there's a sense of emotion that accompanies. There's a sense of passion and competency about our relationship with God where we're ready. And if it grows strong, you'll be a good temptation fighter. And the thing that then we looked at is how in the next passage where Jesus reads from Isaiah 61 in the synagogue, how that's an affirmation of his messiahship, but it's also an example or an illustration of how he fights temptation, especially in the areas of ambition and approval. You know, it says that there that he was loved by all, and that all approved his teaching. So Jesus faces the same things there that we're going to face. And you see what Jesus does is he just points back to the Father all the time. He points himself to, he's going to be like Elijah and Elisha, and everyone was cheering for him 1 minute, and five verses later, they're trying to push him off a cliff there in his hometown of Nazareth. And it's because he says, you know, just like in the middle of a crisis, God used Elijah in the middle of a crisis, God used Elisha. But God used them to reach out to foreign people, not to Hebrew people in the middle of those crises. And that really made the people of Jesus' day, that made the people of Nazareth, the people of his hometown, the people who watched him grow up, that made them angry enough to try and run him off a cliff. And so often we want a Messiah of our own making, but Jesus calls our attention to the favorable year of the Lord, to the year of Jubilee, where everything's going to be set right, where all debts were forgiven, where land was returned, where bad decisions were undone. Jesus points to the reality that he is the Jubilee. He's the favorable year of our Lord. And so I'm going to remind us of that today and pray that reality into our lives and then give you the opportunity to do just the same. Lord, thank you that that you are our Jubilee. You're our rest. You're the one that we point our lives towards, live for. God, that we want to walk with, walk towards. And as we do, God, there are going to be moments where Lord, that love for you is overwhelming. God, we are so grateful for you. And I pray, God, that we would be more and more and more captivated by your love. Certainly help us to do that today. Now you take the opportunity to pray.